the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Welcome everyone to Beyond the Pitch. I'm Juan Arango. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. And this week, I have a guy that I had the pleasure of working with, albeit briefly, but still I had the great pleasure of being around and really just chatting it up before Miami FC games back when I was still with Miami FC. And he still has a very fond place in everyone's heart as far as the world of football is concerned down here in South Florida. Man that's known for the other football, the one that you throw the ball, and all other types of sports, Mr. Orlando Alzagueri, who of course you can listen to down here locally on 560 WQAM. You can also listen to him on Mad Dog Radio, is that correct? Still, you're still doing that gig, right? Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I'm not adding more work that you're...
Saturdays and Sundays, 3 to 7, 3 to 7 on Mad Dog Radio and Sirius.
Yes, and first of all, I'm glad to have you here on the show. And Orlando, for as long as I can remember listening to you, and I hope I'm not dating you on that, I remember that you were a guy that was always following the soccer scene. You know, sometimes a little bit closer, sometimes a little bit maybe further away than normal. But you always had your pulse on the game down here in South Florida from being one of the few guys that spoke about the game on radio, having Ray... Actually, you had a show when you had Ray Hudson on every week. So, I mean, that was an interesting experience in and of itself.
Yeah. No, definitely. Always local soccer is what you're talking about. International soccer, we don't really include it in the talk as much. Mm-hmm. But local soccer, I've always been, you know, supportive of it. I went to games when I was a kid, whether it was the Toros when I was a kid, or then the Strikers, and then obviously I was, you know, I had the pleasure of working with the Fusion, and then the second version of the Strikers and all that stuff, and now the Miami FC. So I've always been either a fan or tied to the soccer businesses here in South Florida, because I've always been a fan of the sport and I've always wanted it to succeed here in South Florida.
Big O, how do you see this whole Beckham, Miami Beckham United or whatever, you know, the team is going to be named? How do you see that becoming a positive as well? I mean, how do you see that as far as really changing the landscape of the game here in South Florida?
Dude, everything is all about ownership, Juan. Really, that's what it's really all about. You're going to succeed in any business if the owner knows what he's doing, if he's committed to winning, then you've got an opportunity. And I watched firsthand. We had the shot with the Fusion. And the problem was, at the beginning, Horowitz brought in the wrong people to run the team. He overcharged. He had talent like Digital Takawita on the pitch, which was disgusting. Not that Digital, anything personal against Digital, it's just a lower class player, and you were trying to sell soccer to South Florida, and you had an expansion team that was really bad. And so you didn't know how to sell it, and you oversold it, and you created a terrible atmosphere. And then you finally hire Ray Hudson and Hamilton to run the organization. And in their first 2 years, which was the last 2 years of the organization, they went from 4,000 before they took over to 7,000 to 11,000. But the problem is, before that jump we made from 7,000 to 11,000, prior to that year starting, Horowitz had already given up on the idea, the concept of soccer in South Florida. He wasn't truly committed, and maybe he didn't have the resources also to stick with it. Unlike, let's say, Ricardo Silva, who's a great owner and has the resources, but hates the system that we currently have. And that's why he's not a big fan of the MLS system. So it is what it is. But in this case, the Beckham thing was going to fail. It was doomed until Jorge Mas. Because now you've got the political clout that you need, and you've got the financial backing that you need, because Beckham knows soccer, but he doesn't know South Florida. And if you don't know our town, I've watched it with the Striker owners. I've watched it with the Fusion owners. I've watched them fail. I've watched them because they come in and then they think they can make it theirs. And you cannot. You know, and I saw it with the Striker people, that the ownership that took over after, you know, the Brazilians, they wanted to make it like, you know, Northern Brazil here or something.
Yeah.
And dude, this is South Florida. This is a completely different monster. You need to cater to everybody out here. And I think that this group understands it because Jorge Mas understands our community.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have bought the Marlins,
yeah,
he wouldn't have sold all his pieces. He would have kept some guys. This is the right guy now. This is why it's positive. And this is why I'm convinced it's going to succeed this time.
Now, for those of those fans, and there's still, I mean, numbers, I'm not sure exactly, but there's still a good number of fans that have that little bit of blood in their eye from that Fusion experience. What would you tell those types of fans? What are you saying? Hey, you know, get over it. You know, this is a completely different era. This is a completely different situation. Or is this something that the healing process has to occur with the team, really extending the olive branch, if you will, to those types of individuals?
And not, say, hey, not at all. No. There's all kinds of layers to all of this. It's not,
yeah,
it's not as black and white as get over what happened with the Fusion. I told you what just happened with the Fusion.
Yeah.
It was terrible ownership that had no vision and no commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Let's get over that. Let's forget about that. This is bad ownership. This is great ownership. Not good ownership. This is great ownership that we're going to get now with them. Now, here's the other difference that we all have to look at, and I see it because I see it in the broadcast biz. We're now 20 years removed almost from the Fusion. You know, it was right at the beginning of the 2000s. We're in 2018. What we've also changed is all the immigrants that have come over now.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten more immigrants than ever from soccer countries. And in those 18 years, we've had kids that have grown up in the last 20 to 30 years from parents that have come from soccer countries. My two producers are both soccer kids. They love soccer. They watch international soccer like it's going out of style. They'd rather watch international soccer than baseball, okay? That's what's happening with young people in America now. Young people in America are soccer, international soccer, than baseball. Some will go as far as to want to watch an MLS game over a baseball game, because that's what's happening with that generation, Generation Z, and the millennials, which those are the youngest ones are the Generation Z, and then it's the millennials. Those are the kids that are now turning over to football, not football, but football. That's the sport that they're starting to come to. And so that, in those almost 17, 18 years that have come from when the Fusion left, that's also changed, and that's also influenced. Look at the ratings in the Olympics every time they roll around, the World Cup. Our ratings kick everybody's butt across the country. Now, we also have the same disease in this town that we have with Northeastern people. Well, the people that live here, they don't support the Marlins, but they'll go see the Mets. They don't support the Dolphins, but they love their Jets. They don't support the Panthers, but they want to see the Rangers and the Devils, and they want to see those kind of, because they used to live there, and now they live here. That's why I call this place the Sixth Borough. So there's a problem, and then there's a problem soccer-wise. All the Colombians and Mexicans and Argentines and all those people that we have living here, Brazilians and all that, they don't want to see MLS. They don't want to see the Miami FC. They don't want to see the Fusion. They don't want, I know because I've experienced it all. They want, when Colombia comes to town, they'll go to the stadium and pack it. When Brazil is playing somebody else, they'll pack the stadium. You bring international matches, now, you know, now Dolphin Stadium gets more packed for football matches than they do for football matches nowadays. Those are the business crowds, the soccer crowds. So all of those influences have now created a better soccer environment for us to succeed here. It'll be easier for Jorge Mas and for David Beckham to succeed than even when Horowitz was owning the Fusion, or if you want to go back to the Robbies, which, by the way, if you really look at that era, I lived it, they actually had success. They actually drew very well. We actually did very well. But again, we only had the Dolphins, the Canes, and the Strikers back in those days. No Panthers, no Heat, no Marlins, so it didn't complicate things. So it was a different world, too. That's why we drew well. But overall, the environment now is better than it's ever been in South Florida for something like this. And look what's happening with attendance all across the country. Mm-hmm. Look at even Atlanta now, what they're doing with soccer. I think it's going to change, and I think this time around, it's now organically it can grow a lot stronger and a lot faster than it ever could have in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and we're here with Orlando Alzugaray here on, or Orlando Alzugaray, depending on how, you know, which audience you are, if you're in a part of the American audience or the Hispanic-speaking audience. So I have to use both pronunciations in order to kind of like cover all my bases. Orlando, you start looking at also a lot of the opposition that has really been generated. And I use the term loosely because at the end of the day, everyone that I've spoken to on both sides of the fence, if you will, do want a team here. But they one sees it, you know, that it needs to come in this way. The other one thinks it needs to come in that way. And all the other political pieces that are being moved around. What is the? I mean, that's typical Miami. I mean, I can right. say it, and I can say it until the cows come home. But I need to have somebody else actually say that in order for them to understand the extent of how much the political red tape is really been enveloping this whole situation.
Yeah, no, and I completely understand it. The only difference here is we're not spending any money this time. It's not a burden on the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So we certainly weren't going to clean up that golf course that is infested anyways with toxic material, and we've got kids playing on it anyway. So, yeah. I mean, now we've got a project there that's going to go that's better than... this is what I love about all of this. Mm-hmm. We raised this big stink about this, right? And nobody had any plans for that golf course. It was going to stay there as a golf course. Nobody was going to touch it. They were never going to do anything with it unless the Moss Group came in and brought this idea and brought it to life. They were never going to put it up for bid. It was just going to stay there and do nothing and earn nothing for us as taxpayers. So all of a sudden, in comes a project. Now people make a big stink about it. Well, wait a minute. What else are you going to do with it? You're never going to do anything. These guys are going to go in. They're going to take the responsibility. They're going to clean up the toxic material. They're going to put in not just the soccer stadium, but they're going to put in soccer fields. They're going to have a tech hub. They're going to have a hotel. They're going to bring in permanent jobs now. And it's going to produce a heck of a lot more money in taxes, mm-hmm. which will go to us. And it's going to produce jobs, which is going to help our economy. And again, we get a soccer team. Mm-hmm. Plus, Jorge Moss is footing the bill for all of this. So we don't have to foot the bill. He's taking all of the risk and all of this. And by the way, folks, if he fails, what happens to the stadium and everything else? We probably inherit it. So we end up getting a free stadium and a free, you know, everything else that goes with it. I mean, you can't lose in all of this. It's mm-hmm. going to be able to bring more events to that stadium. It'll have soccer events. I don't think it's ever going to fail, you know what I mean? I think it's going to be an absolute monster. That's the part. Look at soccer all across the country. It's drawing now. It outdraws the NBA and the NHL per game.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at the Atlanta United, folks. Halfway through the season, they have already outdrawn the Atlanta Hawks entire season. Are you listening? Okay, the entire 41 games of the Hawks. All right, go look at their attendance and go look at the Atlanta United. They've already surpassed their attendance, and they were halfway through the year. Now they're killing it with a few more games. This was a couple of weeks ago when they did this. I mean, this was when I was at the SEC Media Days in Atlanta. They were crossing that threshold of passing the Hawks. Soccer in this country is, I know that you heard it 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 40 years ago because I was part of that and hearing it and all of that. But we've gotten to that point now where it's not, we're past the kids. We've got our pro level leagues. People don't understand the USL is a super strong league. And it's got, what is that, like 90 teams or something ridiculous like that?
it seems like it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's got whatever. I don't know how many it's got, but yeah. I'm Cuban, so I kind of exaggerate. But whatever, it's got a boatload of teams. We got the MLS stronger than ever now, like I told you. We've got what's it called, the MPFL league also. So now we've got certain, you know, different levels of leagues, and I will say the MPSL is there, but the USL is strong, and the MLS is profitable. So, you know, these are things that did not exist 10 years ago, didn't exist. You couldn't even dream about it 20, 30, 40 years ago. So, again, what they told you 40 years ago and 30 and 20, it's here now. It's finally there. And soccer is becoming that mainstream sport that people all talked about. Why? Because organically everything has grown. Again, look at all the international matches. Look how they draw, not just here, but all across the country. Look at the interest now. Look at the ratings. Things have changed, man. We didn't have the U.S. involved here recently, and we still watched the World Cup like it was going out of style, and we had no U.S. So that tells you all you need to know right there, that the, you know, the jingoism behind it all, the patriotism, all that stuff, It wasn't even a part of all of this. And yet, we still celebrated and enjoyed it and watched it. Why? Because we are a melting pot. We're full of people in this country from all those other countries that are playing soccer at that moment in the World Cup. That's why, because you know somebody from one country or another. That's a friend of yours and a co-worker or whatever. Everything's changed, man. That's why I'm telling you that all of this is going to work out. And you got to get past the politics, because what I love is what I told you at the beginning. Nobody was doing anything with Mel Reese until these guys brought it up. So finally, we've got a project that's way better than what we currently have right now.
We're here with Orlando Alzogary here on Beyond the Pitch. And Orlando, I know you're busy. I don't want to hold you up too much.
It's cool.
Down here with South Florida, is there, I mean, all the points that you mentioned, but is there still a little bit of a fear factor that you know, I mean, you still have that boogeyman, if you will, you know, just very, you know, a couple of miles away from Mel Reese over at Marlins Park, and saying, are you absolutely sure? Are you positively sure? Are you absolutely positively sure that there's not going to be a dialogue after Spain?
But there's no risk here. That's the difference. With these losers, with Laurie and these guys, you know who he was, and I don't know why to even deal with him. You know, it's ridiculous. And this is why Jorge Mas and Stephen Ross lately have had to use all their money. You know, Stephen Ross put hundreds of millions of dollars into the stadium now. Again, stadium's beautiful. It's
palatial, yeah, absolutely.
And look, the tennis tournament was going away. He saved it. It's his private money that's putting into it. And now Jorge Mas wants to do something. It's private money. It's not our money. The only thing we're doing is providing the land, and we're taxing them, and they're going to pay rent. So I don't understand. But I mean, unless you told me that there was a project that was going to be that much more profitable for everybody involved, then I'm all for it. But nobody's come up with anything whatsoever. Everybody can come up with hot air and an argument, but there's no substance whatsoever behind it. Meanwhile, we just had a loser there in the Mel Reese golf course. And look, I get it, the family that's been running it, the few hundred people that go to the golf course, and I know the kids' program, which is going to survive.
Yeah.
It's going to be moved to either Miami Springs or somewhere else, but the kids will not be cheated out of the opportunity. And they can also, you know, stay there if they want to, because the Moss family has made it, you know, more clear that if they want to keep practicing there and playing there, they're going to be able to do it. Oh, and by the way, they're going to be able to do it in a toxic-free land, too, on top of all of that, because they're going to have to pay for the cleanup of all of that mess that's under Mel Reese Golf Course. Again, dude, there's no risk on our side this time. That's the beauty of all of this. None whatsoever. That's it. That's why I'm all for it.
Yeah, Orlando, let's switch a little bit more, obviously, from the property aspect of it, in order to delve into more how this franchise, this product, if you will, is going to be marketed mm-hmm. to South Florida. And you, of course, have seen, you know, the Colombians want to watch the Colombian teams, the Argentines want to watch their teams, Brazilians, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest failure that franchises of the past, event holders of the past, especially when it comes to this sport, have not been able to figure out or continue making the same mistakes over and over again, that this Beckham team needs to say, okay, look what they've done. We need to do something totally different than what those guys did in order to be successful down here.
It's simple, man. You just got to win and entertain. That's what the Fusion had at the end of the last 2 years. They figured it out when Hamilton and Hudson, you had the coach that was able to sell the game, be on radio, be on TV, do interviews, be on Hank Goldberg's show and my show, go on with Joe Rose, go on TV, be charismatic, sold it. Hamilton brought in players. We got all the way to the Western Conference. And for those of you that don't remember, it was weird because it was our early years and we were in the Western Conference. I know. But anyway, so we got to the Western Conference Finals and all that stuff. And we went, like I told you earlier in the interview, went from 4,000 to 7,000 to 11,000 in attendance. We were building it. We were finally headed in the right direction, but the owner quit on us. And that's been the problem, and I've seen it over the years. But with the Marlins, people aren't going to meet you halfway. The Miami Heat, you know, Mickey Arison said, okay, I took over the team. I got to go get my guy. Okay, I got Pat Riley. That's going to turn things around. Boom, Pat Riley gives you winning all the way through. And even in this, and now that this isn't their best years, they're still selling out. They still got all their season ticket sales. Everybody's hanging in there because they trust the organization. You have won them over. And that's what the Dolphins had with Don Shula for many years. And then they lost the trust of the public. Look what's going on with Canes football. When you had Randy Shannon and Al Golden, mm-hmm. everybody lost trust. The stadium was half full. There was no buzz. It was brutal. Now, look at what they're announcing this week. Look at the commercials in the radio right now. Hurry up and get your tickets. We have 500 season tickets left for the sold-out stadium. 500.
Yeah,
why?
Because
there's buzz. They believe in Mark Richt. It's not that they want a championship. You don't have to win a championship. See, that's a misconception here. Oh, no, you got to win championships to draw people. You got to be going to the playoffs. No. You got to win and entertain, okay? You got to prove that you're committed to winning. You do your part. Miami does their part. But you got to earn their trust. And that's what Jorge Mas is. He's lived here like I have. He's raised here like I have. He knows how we are in this town. He would have bought the Marlins. He would have sold all those guys. He would have kept some of those guys around because he knows you got to have stars to draw. So that's what those guys have to do. Win and entertain, and you will have the combination that you need in order to succeed in South Florida. It's a proven blueprint. All you got to do is follow it.
Yeah, or I mean, I can't disagree with you on any of those points. I mean, having been, you know, raised down here myself, I've seen, you know, teams come and teams go and managers come and managers go, and there's just one true formula, and it's I guess you could say competing. Is the most important aspect. You know, if you just...
Dude, the Heat aren't going to win a title. The Heat aren't winning a title. We all know the second LeBron walked out that door, they had no sign of a title. Why didn't everybody drop their season tickets? Why do they still go? Why is it that we're one of top six in attendance the last 4 years? Is it that we're top 10 in national ratings? I think it's top five, actually, but whatever. I'm going to give you top 10. Why is it that when the playoffs roll around and the Heat are still not in it anymore, at that point, why are some of the best ratings in South Florida? Because the Miami Heat have made us a basketball town. Jim Larrañaga has made us a college basketball town because his arena is sold out 4 straight years now. Why? Because he does his part. Mm-hmm. He recruits his butt off, and he wins. Does he win national titles? No.
No.
He has won ACC twice, which is pretty damn cool. And guess what? We do our part. We buy our season tickets. The Marlins don't do their part. We don't do our part. The Panthers don't do their part. We don't do our part. The Dolphins don't do their part. We don't do our... And by the way, the Dolphins have been sold out the last 3 years, and their product sucks. So, you know, if, even sometimes when you make the stadium fun, it actually goes even though the team sucks. I mean, you know, we're really not that bad a sports town as people make it out to be.
Yeah.
The only difference is here, you got to earn attendance. That's all. You got to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, that, and I mean, people say, well, the stadium has to be here or the stadium has to be there. I'm like, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I mean, if you're winning.
Panthers sold out in Overtown. Every time somebody tells me that, I smack them right over the head with that. Okay? And then the Panthers and Huizenga, the late great Huizenga, they were all crying, well, no, we need to build an arena closer to our fan base. Well, they built it in Sunrise and nobody went. Why? Because you suck, dude. Because you didn't win anymore.
The couple of seasons that they did win, they had pretty nice attendance. You know, when they were
pretty nice attendance, but it was never like it was before. Why?
Exactly.
Because that team was better. That team and the Panthers have a different monster, which, by the way, you know, I'm glad we're talking soccer now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing that you're gonna have to cross over, and you gotta make sure, and I hope Jorge Mas and especially David Beckham, listen to me here. When I'm telling you this, make sure you have players on your team that can sell your sport. Because when you come in as a fringe sport, like hockey, like soccer, okay? American sports like basketball and football don't matter because most of the guys that are playing that sport are going to speak our language. We can relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
Problem with hockey and soccer is you got a lot of Europeans, you got a lot of Central South Americans, not in hockey, but in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you need, and it happens in baseball too, you cannot have people that don't speak our language. You cannot have people, the Panthers have that problem right now. They got a bunch of young guys, but they all speak a European, and nobody will speak English, and nobody can understand them. And that's the problem. The Panthers in the 90s, Van Beesbrouck, Mellenbeek, Scrooglin, all those guys spoke English. All those guys had personality. All those guys could do commercials and interviews and could sell the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Very important that when you're a soccer team or you're a hockey team in South Florida, not only should you have great players, because we all should strive to have great players, but make sure you have some players that can communicate and deliver the message of your sport and have personality, because you will need them for interviews. You will need them for radio and TV. You will need them for commercials. You will need them to sell your sport. That's the problem with baseball right now. That's what happened with the commissioner Trout, that he was out of place. He says, oh, Trout should go sell himself. No, dude, Trout is Tim Duncan. You're wrong. Go find the guy that has swag, the guy that likes to sell himself. That's the baseball player you need to find. But that's the problem. In baseball, those guys don't sell themselves. And that's why that sport is going downhill. And that's why soccer in 10 to 20 years will be number three in this country, because soccer players watch them all around the world. They sell their sport. They're on social media. They're doing commercials. That's why it's very important in South Florida to be marketable. And soccer and hockey players need to be marketable in this town, and that helps you also in succeeding.
Mr. Orlando Alzugari, thank you so much for being on the show. I wanted to be brief, but because I know you know, because of your time constraints, thank you so much for being on the show. And I know that I don't need to have you on for too long, man. Your arguments are always very potent, so that really helps out a great deal. So what do you have going on now that the Dolphins are almost underway and everything else? And what are you going to be doing as far as soccer's concerned?
Soccer, man, I mean, right now I'm swapped. I do QAM Monday through Friday. I do Mad Dog over the weekends. I'm going to be doing a pregame NFL with Mad Dog on Sundays. I do sometimes some things like Thursday and Friday night. Mm-hmm. I just got hired by the Athletic MIA.
Oh yeah, congratulations on that, man.
And be a columnist. So I am mobbed. And sometimes I do some stuff with the Miami FC. You know, I do some stadium announcing with them. I don't even know if I'll have time for that this season. I'll tell you, once we get the MLS team, I ain't working with the I ain't working with no more soccer team. I'm going to be a fan this time around, dude. I'm just going to buy some season tickets. I'm not even going as a media member. I want to buy a pair of season tickets, go with the wife, go enjoy the games, be a fan this time around. Be a fan like I used to be when I was a kid for the Strikers and the Toros. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. I just want to go to the games and enjoy them. I can't wait for it, man. I really can't. That's really what I got going. But of course, I'll be talking soccer on my shows, especially when it gets here finally. Mm-hmm. You know, then we can get hot and have me into it. I know my show back in the day was the only show that would talk fusion. And we would actually talk fusion because we actually had real MLS games and all that stuff going on.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we get it back because I'm going to be comfortable, you know, talking about it. And I know most people that know soccer will know that, you know, they can come to my show to get a little love for their sport.
Thank you. So one more question, where can people find you on social media to, you know, to really just continue the conversation, ask you questions and maybe even, you know, start asking you some draft questions too for the NFL.
Yeah.
Or is that too soon? Or is that too soon right now?
No, dude, that's it. Well, if you're a Dolphins fan, we talk draft year round. So, you know, that's automatic. But on Twitter, it's Big O Show on Twitter, or on Instagram, Big O Radio Show on Instagram. One of those two, and you'll always find me.
Orlando Alzugueri, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, Big O, for being on the show. A pleasure, and well, hope to run into you sooner rather than later, man.
You got it, my man.
Take care, brother. Have a good one.
Always run around.
Be excellent. Good.